Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Shanghai Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Real quick before we jump into things, if you're looking for some pro wrestling in the next couple of days, tonight you have WCWO at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, Indiana. World of Hurt in Whitehall, New York. Wrestling Revolver in Dayton, Ohio. IPW in Sioux City, Nebraska. UCW in Uniontown, Pennsylvania. And APW in Chester, South Carolina. Tomorrow night, Blue Collar Wrestling holding the annual Patty's Cruise-In show outside in Portland, Oregon. EBW in Oregon, Ohio. MPW in Southgate, Michigan. RSW in Nutter Fort, West Virginia. PAPW in East Haven, Connecticut. DOCW in Winder, Georgia. AAW in LaSalle, Illinois. POWW in Fox Lake, Illinois. WAW in Manchester, New Hampshire. OSW in Odessa, Texas. Both Emerge and Hoosier Pro Wrestling in Columbus, Indiana. And Pro Wrestling King in Plymouth, Indiana tomorrow night. Well, get out there, find yourself a show near you, support some local wrestling. And without further ado, I would like to welcome our guest today. He is from the Midwest. Akira, welcome to the show.
Hello. Pleasure to be on the show.
Well, since today happens to be your first time with us, we're going to start you out with our traditional first-timers question. What got you into the business of professional wrestling?
What got me into the business of professional wrestling was, I'd say, three things in particular. You had The Rock when I was a kid. Like, that's the guy I looked up to growing up. And then, say, around about 2 years ago, I watched AJ Styles live for the first time. And then, for the way I wrestle now, my particular style, it was Sakura Genesis from New Japan in 2017 with Kazuchika Okada versus Katsuyori Shibata. And that was the match that really set a fire and made me want to be who I am today, be a professional wrestler, be a fighter.
Now, obviously, professional wrestling requires a lot of training and a lot of contacts in order to get into it. What was your process like when you decided that this was what you wanted to do and you were seeking out how to go about getting involved in it?
Well, where I'm from is not needed to be said. It's preferred to be a mystery, and I just prefer to be myself because in the end, that's all that really matters. But I started looking around schools in the Midwest area, and I found a trainer under the name of Blake Reed in Terre Haute, Indiana, and I trained there about 2 to 3 days on the weekends. I stayed at his place, slept on his floor, a dirty floor, but it was a floor, and I got as much ring time as possible. I have a collegiate background in swimming, and so I was ready to train the level that I needed to, and I knew it was going to be a physically taxing experience, and it was more just putting my body through more physically taxing circumstances so that the soreness, the pain really didn't matter in the end, because in the end, I'm kind of a sadomasochist, and I guess pain doesn't mean much to me in the grand scheme of things. I really just, worked hard. I I do a lot of like normal weightlifting, but I've kind of staved away from it for more CrossFit experience because it's easier on the joints. And I also apply a lot of body weight exercises, like probably going into the squats, push-ups, variations thereof, sit-ups. Probably do about 400 squats a day, about 200 to 400 push-ups, depending on what I'm feeling. Life is miserable, you know.
This time of year in particular, a lot of promotions are running outdoor events. I just mentioned one in Oregon tomorrow, which is an annual thing. Outdoor shows tend to provide a little bit different set of circumstances, a little bit different feel from your standard inside venue. What's your opinions just in general of outdoor shows for wrestling?
I mean, it's, to me, it's just another show. It's another circumstance, another way to wrestle. It's just like how every crowd is different, every wrestler is different, every match is different. It's just another kind, not even like a stipulation. It's just more of something you got to work around. So instead of having all the theatrics that you could have been a indoor show, because no indie show like outside is going to be like on WWE where they can manipulate those particular, I guess, discrepancies. It's more of, okay, you've really got to stick out with your wrestling. You got to stick out with your personality, and you got to be as real as possible. And especially on those shows, instead of having theatrics to make you seem cool, you don't have lighting to give you a more aesthetic to your wrestling. You have to be as efficient, as brutal, as, I mean, up close to these people as possible to get them into what you're doing. I don't particularly hate live shows, but I mean, outdoor shows, but it is, one, it's 1,000 times hotter than wrestling inside where there's air conditioning normally. Of course, you got your hot gyms, but, you know, you get sunburned. If you're on vinyl mats, you're going to be slipping and sliding all over the place. But in the end, you can also get that more organic fan feel when you get up close to them and you just start beating, you know, you just start beating the crap out of your opponent in front of people. They're going to believe you.
Absolutely. One of the mainstays of professional wrestling since the dawn of the sport all the way up till today, especially on the independent circuit, is the Battle Royal. It's usually a fairly popular match with the fans as they get to see a lot of people interact that maybe wouldn't normally interact during the course of a match. Some wrestlers, not always a fan of Battle Royals. Some see it as just something that they have to do, not something they necessarily like to do. Have you done very many Battle Royals thus far in your career, and do you have an opinion on that type of match?
Any match that you're given is a match you got to work to the best of your abilities. I'm going to go ahead and include more Royal Rumble stylings with the Battle Royal because they kind of go hand in hand by the nature and the stipulation of the match. I understand people have that lack of desire to do those kinds of matches because they see it as, oh, it's just, you know, you're kind of the sideshow. You're not really on the main show. But personally, I believe you're supposed to take every opportunity and do the best with what you're given. And that's your time to shine. Even if you're not, it's not you and just one other guy where you can easily have the spotlight. It's your job to grab it and do your best. And personally, it makes you look even better when you outshine everybody else in the battle. You stand out. People go, man, that one guy was kind of crazy in the battle royal. Like, one guy was just beating the blew piss out of everybody else in the Battle Royal. And I've been in a couple of Royal Rumbles, and that's more or less my game plan, is go in there, be better than everybody else, and do my best, and make sure the crowd is entertained. That's kind of the three things. Get yourself over, care about the crowd, and make sure you're better on the other end. That's the whole nature of the business.
I would agree with you there for sure. Now, also one of the main things that wrestlers have to do, no matter where they are on the card, no matter how long they've been in, is maintaining a proper diet that allows them to compete at their best. Some wrestlers are extremely strict with their diet. Some of them a little bit more lax, depending on situations. Do you have a particular set diet that you adhere to in order to maintain the conditioning you want?
I would say over the course of this year, my diet has changed more drastically because I've been taking myself a bit more seriously when it comes to it as well. It includes my exercises. I really don't eat like desserts anymore, no bad carbs. I rarely drink. I think that maybe the last time I drank was maybe this past Friday at a bachelor party for my friend. And even then I didn't drink too much. And normally I maintain a diet of about 3,000 calories a day, chicken, cheese, like a lot of meats, veggies, and fruits, as well as dairy. I try to stay away from carbs, try to keep it low. And then I'm also doing heavy, intense work, CrossFit workouts, and then I'm going to the local ring that I, whenever I'm around. And I'm doing a lot of catch wrestling exercises, drills, just throwing my body around. And I'm trying not to be like everybody else, particularly in the business, who really focus on body weights to try and look more like a bodybuilder. I'm trying to be more of a fighting condition. And I prefer to go with the more Carl Gotch body weight exercises anyway. I just think they're better for you. They're easier on your joints. And you feel 1,000 times better coming out of it.
Another thing that has always been around professional wrestling, and I'm sure always will be, is superstitions. A lot of wrestlers tend to be very superstitious, be it with the way that they apply their wrist tape, whether it be how they put on their wrestling gear, whether it's how they enter the ring. There's a lot of variations on superstitions. Some guys have several, some guys have none at all. Do you yourself carry around any superstitions that you have to do every time you go out there?
I wouldn't say there's superstitions, more of it's routines that if people break, then I guess, yes, it's superstition. It's a routine that they break, and it messes up their vibe. It messes up their mindset. Just like how some guys don't stretch at all before an event, and then they will go out to their fight, go out to their match, and then there'll be that one time where they do stretch and they end up hurting themselves. Me personally, I don't personally adhere to the superstition mindset. Sometimes you're just thrown into situations where you have to just deal with it. There's times where I normally do stretch before I go out, but there's times where that just doesn't happen and it's fine. And I mean, I change the way I do things all the time. You're constantly discovering who you are as an individual in the ring, outside of the ring. But I wouldn't say that, you know, I don't think superstitions really apply to wrestling. It's more people just have the routines they'd like to stick to.
Well, we have a game on this show that we like to play. We call it Bring On to Choice, Bring On to Funk. I would give you a series of two options, and the one that is your personal preference is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of Bring On to Choice, Bring On to Funk?
Hit me with it. Let's go.
All right. The first one, armbar or chin lock?
That's kind of a loaded question. It depends on what you're trying to do. An arm bar is me trying to tear your arm off. Chin lock, I'm just trying to hurt you. I mean, I personally want to go for the win, so I'm always going to try to go for an arm bar. And chin locks are more just to make your opponent suffer anyway. An arm bar is, hey, I'm going to make you suffer, but it's also me going for the win.
All right. Ring of Honor or Lucha Underground?
I really do like Ring of Honor. I feel like they've lost a lot of their attitude because they've started to cater toward the more commercial demographic. But, you know, that just comes par with the course of national television. Well, some of the wrestling is really great on Ring of Honor, but I feel like Lucha Underground is something very – it's very different. It's a wrestling show, but it's a reality show. It's like it's a science fiction fantasy show. I feel like creatively there's a lot more that you can get behind with Lucha Underground, and I'm just happy that they decided to bring it back for another season because it's something really new and something kind of innovative, and I feel like that's kind of the modem where people are going to focus wrestling is being very, like, kind of like building their own world. I notice how Lucha Underground does it. WWE does it technically with their WWE Universe shtick. DDT in Japan does it, that just having this like weird little world that they have, and people that are in the bubble just get it. So personally, I would say Lucha Underground just for creative reasons, but I do really appreciate Ring of Honor for the in-ring work.
Tag team match or a four-corner match?
Excuse me, what was the first one?
Tag team.
Oh, tag team match. Corners matches can go with a flag match and just be buried and forgotten. Tag team matches are just, they're easy for everybody to do. You can do a lot with it, story-wise. And there's people that literally, like the Young Bucks, who their entire profession is tag teams. Like, it's an art form in and of itself, and I really do appreciate tag teams.
Steak or lobster?
I'm more of a crab guy, so honestly, steak, medium rare.
Belly dancing or DDP yoga?
DDP yoga works for everybody. I'm not a user of either of those, but I have done DDP yoga once, and it's honestly really benefited.
Charmin or Angel Soft?
Second option.
AJ Styles or AJ Lee?
AJ Styles, my God. Like, he's one of the reasons why I'm a wrestler today. Nothing against AJ Lee, but she was a diamond in the rough at the time, I personally do believe. Now you've got, instead of diamonds, you've got platinum. You've got all these different kinds of jewels that are honestly in WWE right now. The Mae Young Classic is going to be, should be fantastic. The talent that they have is unbelievable. Or just like a smaller tournament that's going to be on the network. But yeah, AJ Styles.
Choking or eye gouging?
Choking.
A final one, boots or shoes and kick pads?
Personally, I use shoes and kick pads. Boots, like, it's more of an aesthetic, and it's also for your particular style. I do think a lot of people that use kick pads shouldn't be using kick pads because they don't ever kick people. And the purpose of a kick pad is so that you don't end up like Anderson Silva, where you try to check someone's kick and you end up snapping your own ankle. And a lot of people don't seem to realize this. There's a lot of vets who will look down on kids like myself that use kick pads. But it's like every other MMA organization outside of the United States, Pancrase, for example, they use kick pads just because you don't want to end up like Anderson Silva, who is lucky that he still has a career. But, I mean, it's all for your style and who you are. Like, I couldn't see Ric Flair with boots, but then again, I can't imagine, like, New Japan Shinsuke Nakamura without having kick pads because his job is to literally kick the crap out of you, and I couldn't do that without it. You don't want to get a kick from me in a pair of laced-up boots. It's just It's bad for you. It's bad for me. It's bad for everybody.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure QT has some questions as well, so I'm going to pass things to him for a bit.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Sangha. Hello, Arm.
Well, how's it going?
Oh, pretty good. Can you hear me well enough?
I can hear you well.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'm in a truck with a bunch of people, so it's kind of you got a little bit of like signal waning in and out, but I can hear you just fine right now.
Oh, okay. You say you're in a truck with some other people. Are you traveling to another wrestling event?
No, currently I am driving to a rehearsal dinner for a friend, and then I have his wedding tomorrow, and then I'm going immediately to a show as soon as the wedding's over. So I'm traveling whether I like it or not.
Oh, hey, now it seems like you attend quite a few wedding events and stuff. You mentioned a wedding event you attended earlier.
Oh, yeah, I'm heading to the rehearsal for that wedding now. This wedding has been, I will say this, Mexican weddings are nothing to hassle with because everybody's a bridezilla, everybody. And I'm just the best man, and I'm ducking my head under the fire of words, and I'm just ready for it to be done with. I'm ready for it to be married and be happy, and I'm ready just to go to my wrestling show.
Oh, now will it incorporate a little bit of the Jewish wedding in it where you'll stamp on a champagne glass and yell Mazel Tov?
Oh, my
God. Is that
going to That's terrible. Oh, then again, we're all involved with wrestling, so we're all naturally terrible at heart.
Oh, okay. I'm going to get it. Probably won't have that aspect of that Jewish wedding in it. Probably not.
Oh, no. It's going to be a proper Mexican wedding. There's probably going to be Corona everywhere. And lots of people talking, and I'm not going to be able to understand them.
Now, in one of the most famous episodes on Seinfeld, Frank Costanza held Festivus, where his son George attended. And during this Festivus, they held the airing of grievances. Will there be an airing of grievances at this wedding rehearsal? That's what I want to know.
I am the best man, so probably.
Oh,
I'm gonna give it to the bride and the groom. I'm gonna be like, you all have been putting all of us through hell. It's your fault. I'm just here trying to do this whole speech thing, and ugh.
Oh, okay. All right. So, okay. A modified airing of grievances. This is huge.
A modified. Yes.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Someone's got to give them an earful.
Oh, yes. Okay. All right. Fantastic. Okay. Well, Akara, you mentioned to Sign Guy that you did some swimming in college. Can we ask what your best event was?
Best event? Was two in particular. It was the 400 meter IM and the breaststroke. Any event with breaststroke, I was really good at.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The worst one to be good at, basically.
Well, now, did you make it? What college did you go to?
I went to a college in Illinois, Olivet Nazarene University. I swam there for 2 years, then I kind of just quit due to recurring injury that came through the training, and it wasn't my fault, despite what some people at that college might have said. It was due to an overuse, and I kept having to do the same style of stroke over and over and over again, and it caused just a little bit of like muscle tearing in my upper right shoulder. But it was nothing major.
Oh, okay. All right. Do you use swimming now as a method of training?
No, but I do use certain things from swimming in terms of technique and through like and working out. A lot of it was like dry lands, which is a lot of honestly some of modified Carl Gotch workouts, and it was just as physically taxing. I basically worked myself to the point where it's the same kind of thing that I was doing in college. So if I'm feeling the burn like in college, I feel like I'm doing kind of all right.
Wow, okay, all right. Can we ask what your college mascot was? This is a very important question. College mascot.
It was a tiger.
Oh, okay, all right. Was it a Bengal tiger?
No, it was just a tiger.
Oh, okay. And how about your college school colors?
Purple and white. No, purple, white, and gold. Yeah, that's what it was.
Well, white and gold, that's no colors for a tiger.
Hey, dude, I didn't design it. I just went to it.
Oh, okay. Now, I ask this because Sign Guy and myself are keeping a journal or a record of what all our, most of our interviewees, what their mascots and school colors were. There's a direct link between a wrestler's mascot in high school or college and his performance in the ring, or at least that's the thesis that I am trying to prove. Yes.
It's interesting.
It's a thesis. Okay. Can we ask what
it's more a hypothesis at this point?
It is a hypothesis. Yes. Kind of like Sheldon and his string theory. Sheldon. Yes.
Yeah.
Can we ask what your high school colors were?
Blue and white.
Okay. Okay. A little bit of kind of like your college purple and white. Okay.
A little bit. Yep.
And how about your high school mascot?
Cougar.
Oh, cougar and tiger. Okay. That's pretty close. Okay.
Cougar, my favorite type of woman.
Oh, wow. Cougar.
Cougars like Asians. I don't know why.
Oh, very okay. Land of the Midnight Sun, or is that Eternal Mist?
A little bit of both. Depends on my mood.
Oh, okay. All right. Cougar. Okay, I'm going to mark that down. High school. Very okay. Now, I saw Akara. I saw your video, Akara versus Shady Chris Zion.
And Akira versus, that was an interesting match. Needless to say.
That took place in a mall with a JCPenney's and a Zales.
Yep, it was up in Michigan, like Benton Harbor. That's the name of it, Benton Harbor. And I got there probably like 10 minutes before intermission, and I was our fight was right after intermission, and it was what it was. I watched that match, and considering I'm still new, but considering where I was at that time, I feel like the performance, the fight was, I think it was a good fight. People really liked it. We got the crowd really interested, and that's mostly what I care about, other than winning, because winning's great, and winning does matter.
Well, you know, in the background, I saw a JCPenney's. My question is, like Chris Zion's mind, was this JCPenney's shuttered and closed?
It was, it was all closed. The entire mall's like shut down now, I believe. So, more or less.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, was this the first time you had met this wrestler named Chris Zion?
Then, particularly, yes, that was the first time.
Oh, okay. So we were probably
We were due for a rematch, but he cowered out.
Oh, he did. Wow. When was this rematch supposed to take place?
It was supposed to be like 2-4 weeks ago, somewhere in that time frame, and he didn't show up. He said he had other things to do, meaning he didn't want to get his ass kicked by me again.
Oh, wow. Holy smokes. Okay. All right. Now, how long ago was that match in the mall? Was that about a half a year ago?
It was about April-ish, I believe.
Oh, okay, April. All right. Well, I also saw a Zales in the background. And as you know, Zales specializes in diamond. My question is, were you a big fan of Diamond Dallas Page and his diamond cutter?
Diamond Dallas Page did the cutter better than Randy Orton ever could.
Oh.
I personally believe that. I feel like with Randy, no disrespect to Randy, the move is it's a bit too fluid. But I feel like DDP, like it was like a diamond. It was rough. It was sharp, and it looked like he was just killing somebody with it.
Now, you mentioned to Sign Guy that growing up, The Rock and AJ Styles were inspirations. Were you also a big fan of Jimmy Wang Yang?
No. Oh, man. I personally love getting all the Asian references. Like, I remember I had an opponent, he was trying to insult me. He was like, okay, Shinsuke Nakamura, okay, Funaki, okay, Minoru Suzuki. And I'm like, oh, thank you for giving me, at least comparing me to people that are successful. Thank you. And he just looked at me funny, and I was like, hey, man. And people could say whatever they want about Jimmy Wang Yang. He was a hell of a wrestler, and he got over. People liked him. If you remembered him, that's 1,000 times more important than being able to do a certain move correctly.
Well, now I saw that the ref checked you for foreign objects, but not Chris Zion. Was this a concern of yours at the back of your mind that he did not check Chris Zion?
To be fair, Chris Zion needed all the help he could get. That's probably why he did it.
Oh, okay.
I'm not gonna pretend like he is some proficient fighter. He's a sneaky little cheat. Whenever I managed to get a hold of him, I made him a crying little baby. I was beating him down. I was kicking him left and right. I was throwing him around. Yeah, they better check me for a blade because I don't need it.
Wow. Now I gotta admit that at the 9:03 mark and at the 9:08 mark, you traded knife edge chops, and his kind of sounded louder, but your knife edge chop brought Chris Zion to his knees. It was very impressive.
That's because Chris Zion, he hit me with the first one, and first off, chopping an Asian that literally my profession is more strong style than everybody else. Pain is, especially something like that, is more temporary. I kind of laugh it off. Like if someone could hit me, I kind of just like look at you like, really? You hit me? And the best part was he tried cowering away from my chops. And when I hit him, he dropped to his knees, like you said, because simply put, I'm more efficient and I'm more dangerous than he could pretend to be. But that's a lot of my opponents, to be fair.
Wow. Well, all right. It's safe to say that Chris Zion is far down on the list for any category of hardest knife edge chop you have ever received. Who would you say would be your top three opponents that gave you your hardest knife edge chop and opposite of Chris Zion?
Let's see. There's a guy who travels with this group called the Bomb Shelter. I imagine you may have heard of them. His name is Zodiac. He is a big man and he chops hard. And I look forward to the day where him. I haven't really had a lot of opponents try to chop me just because it's been kind of detrimental to what they're doing. But Zodiac, is one of those people where I truly felt it. And that makes me want to fight him more.
Wow. Okay, Zodiac. Okay. Have you ever met a man named Madman Pondo?
Yes.
Oh, now I know that he can deliver a hard knife edge chop.
Yes. I've never been on the receiving end of one, but I've met him. I've been on the same shows as him. So maybe in the future, who knows?
The next time you meet Madman Pondo, are you going to broach the subject as a possible tag team for an event?
Most chopping people?
Oh, no, just having Madman as a partner, a tag team partner in an event.
It would be an interesting
partner. Oh, okay.
But personally, I've only seen Pondo in the role of a bad guy, and I'm not really played that role. I'm more spitting in your face baby face that people just seem to get behind. But I don't know, maybe in the future it would be interesting, especially in a more hardcore stipulation.
Wow, all right. Okay. Well, now, it's been established that you were a fan of The Rock and AJ Styles. Were you also a fan of Chris Masters? And do you believe you could get out of the Master Lock? Uh-oh. Sign guy, I think we're having trouble.
Uh-oh. Do we lose him? He might have hit a dead zone for his signal, QT.
Yeah,
yep, he stopped the call, so hopefully he'll call us right back. That, or he's really scared of Chris Masters.
Well, Sanga, I am blown away that we have now both a college and a high school mascot entry and how they were so similar. Tiger, cougar, purple, white, and gold, and then in blue and white. Very similar.
Both having to do with the cats, one might wonder if this makes Akira pop up on the radar of the big cat, Mr. Hughes.
Oh, or the ghost of big cat Ernie Ladd.
That is also a possibility.
Well, okay. Yes, I hope that we can get our guest back. But he may have stopped in at that Taco Bell or something and went inside.
Well, if he's getting a free rehearsal dinner, why would he do that?
Oh, yeah, the rehearsal dinner. I forgot about that. He has to make a toast, too. Yes.
QT, okay. Have you made many toasts during rehearsal dinners in which you snuck in solely for the food?
Oh, well, now, I once, back in the 80s, told a girl I liked her, and I even took her out on a couple dates because she had cable TV. But never...
Very interesting. Like, did you watch a lot of primetime wrestling?
Oh, I watched, Magnum P.I. and Hill Street Blues at the time. Yes.
They weren't even on cable.
Well, it was a version of cable. Yes, a version.
All right. And it looks like we have Akira back. We have you back.
You do. I'm back on the show. I'm back and I'm alive. Hit a bit of a dead zone. Sorry about that.
No problem. All right, QT, go right ahead and continue on.
Okay.
Okay. I told Sign Guy that I thought you might have stopped in at a Taco Bell, but then he reminded me that you had a wedding reception to go to.
Oh, of course.
Oh, okay.
I would have, though, to be fair. Food's important.
Now, you mentioned that you were a fan of The Rock and AJ Styles. Were you also a fan of Chris Masters? And could you yourself get out of his master lock?
I never really watched Chris Masters. I remember watching, I think, him and John Cena doing the Master Lock Challenge. But other than that, like, that's when the time where I kind of phased out of wrestling just because I kind of burnt out. And I just, you know, just teenage drama, teenage angst. You're more focused on that than anything else. But I believe it is possible to get out of the Master Lock. I do believe I could do it. It wouldn't be through a test of strength. It would be through more technique.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, you mentioned teenage drama and angst. You weren't a member. You weren't a goth kid with one of those long black robes and drinking coffee at Denny's at late hours, were you?
No, I was one of the angsty metal kids. That was the only metal kid in the entire school. And I basically just being myself being different and just grew up being different and being that oddball. Jean jacket, band t-shirts, spiky hair, you know, the works.
Oh, now are you a big fan of Slayer, Megadeth, or Pantera?
Megadeth. Pantera, oh. Ruined metal, and Slayer is the same old thing.
Wow, all right, Megadeth. Do you use Megadeth's music in some of your entrance, as some of your entrance music?
Ironically, I use, it's a song called Weapons of Ecstasy by their old guitarist from 1990 to, I think it was around 1999, Marty Friedman. It's Weapons of Ecstasy, and it's one of his Japanese releases from his solo albums that I use. And I use it just because it's really different, and I think I can vibe to it. It's one of the songs of his that I truly appreciate. But I always get the, who wrote this, or where did this even come from? And I'm like, I'm not telling. It's a secret.
Wow. Have you yourself seen Megadeth in concert?
I think 6 times.
Ooh, 6 times. All right. Is there a name for a Megadeth groupie?
Droogies.
Oh, okay. Because I know the Grateful
Clockwork Orange.
What's that?
The Megadeth fans are called Droogies, and that term is from A Clockwork Orange, and I don't know, it's just something Dave Mustaine has always called Megadeth fans.
Oh. Now, you know, speaking of Clockwork Orange, they had a character in that movie called Dim, and Chris Zion kind of reminds me of Dim.
I haven't sat and watched the movie all the way through, just because... it's one of those movies you got to go when you have to actually to purchase. You can't. I don't want to like go over to legally stream stuff, and it's especially one of those older Kubrick films. It's one of those movies you got to be in a mood to sit and watch. I've just never been like in the mood to watch the thing, so just borderline depressing. The psycho
yeah.
I am as a person.
I think Clockwork Orange was a big fan of the goth kids that did hang out at Denny's in the late 80s and 90s. Yes.
And now all the anti-hipsters really love that movie.
Yes. Okay. Well, now did you say Blake Reed was an early trainer of yours and you slept on his floor?
I did.
Have you since gotten him a robot vacuum cleaner? Now that you've come into a little bit of money.
No, he can buy his own stuff. You know, it was like it's like 5 minutes from a Walmart. I do not have to buy him anything.
Oh, okay. All right. In your opinion, would a robot vacuum cleaner be a good Christmas present for him?
Yes. Among other things, that is high on the list.
Wow, okay, all right. Well, Ricardo, were you aware that Jose Canseco...
Oi. Akira. Not Akira. Akira.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry about that. Were you aware that Jose Canseco, who was part of the 1980s Oakland A's, the Bruise Crew... in Oakland, was once pulled over in his car, and he had a goat in the car with a diaper on it.
You know, and there's a lot of convoluted things in the world, and it wouldn't shock me. I remember there was a story of an actor who he got so drunk that he thought a bank was his house.
Oh, my.
Rip Taylor, I believe.
Oh, Rip Taylor, yes. Oh, okay. Okay, yes, that is a pretty convoluted, yes. Okay. Now, to date, how are your T-shirt sales and merchandise sales? What was your biggest day of sales at a wrestling event?
It would have been May 19th at New Wave Pro's Bastard Babies event. I made, I think, like $200. Currently, with the event I'm working at, it's a lot of people not the best income, I guess you could say. I maybe sell like two or three T-shirts a show on a good day. I haven't really been to an event where it's been like, you know, 500, 600, 700 people that will sit there and just buy merchandise. But May 19th and July 3rd for Emerge Wrestling was actually another one of my better dates. But I sell more masks and pictures than I do T-shirts, because T-shirts are kind of a bit of an investment, and people just don't seem to be willing to spend the money. And, like, I do have, like, quality T-shirts. I got them made. It's custom art. It's not some horrible custom art that someone's little cousin drew for them. They're like, oh, this will make me money, and it won't. It's honestly location, demographic, and timing, I believe. That's been my detriment so far.
Wow, okay. All right, very good. Is it one of your goals to make it to the West Coast and wrestle? And if so, do you place Oregon as higher priority over California or Washington?
I want to wrestle everywhere. And it's not even a one I'm going to, just because I set that standard for myself. Honestly, in terms of, once again, demographic, location, exposure, California is one of the more important ones because they have a couple very important promotions in that area. They have Lucha Underground, they have Wrestling from Hollywood, and PWG. And obviously, if you want to make a name, you want to get some, not tenure, but get some that more mainstream exposure, that's kind of where you want to be. So California is definitely the number one in terms of West Coast, but my end game is in Japan.
Wow, Japan, very nice. Okay, all right. Now, I think when you're flying into Tokyo, they have a famous steakhouse there when you land at the Tokyo International Airport. I can't quite recall the name of the steakhouse, but a lot
Neither
of wrestlers... What's that?
I can't recall it either. I know what you're talking about. There's a lot of places in Japan I really do want to visit. And there's a couple places that I really want to train, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, we already have on TV back-to-school specials, and you know that means that Halloween is coming. Videos for Halloween and ads are coming shortly. Do you yourself... And then Halloween card coming up that you're going to participate in?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Okay. I was thinking you might be involved in a sarcophagus or casket match.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. If anything, it would be I could probably see a hair versus hair match with somebody, or just more hardcore horror themed kind of things. The best thing about who I am as a wrestler is that I already got the mask that people kind of, well, kids think it's cool, some adults think it's kind of creepy, so we kind of ride that fine line.
Well, yes, in that video that you had, that was quite a mask that you brought on. Kind of had a little bit of the devil in there, I think. Maybe.
It's a Japanese only mask. It's basically a Japanese war demon. Well, not a war demon, just a demon.
I knew it. Okay.
Yep.
Japanese demon. Wow. Okay. All right. Well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy, and I'd like to personally thank you for your contribution to our mascot and high school color yearbook and college color yearbook. Very important.
Not a problem. Not a problem. It's the one time I'm saying I'm proud to be a statistic.
Oh, okay. Back to you, Sun Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Kara, one of the styles that you've blended into what you do in the ring is submission-based wrestling. It seems to be gaining a lot more popularity as the British style of wrestling is gaining more and more popularity as well here in the United States. Is submission wrestling something that is your favorite style of professional wrestling to perform?
I just prefer living in the realm of legitimacy and striking, submissions, and legitimate power moves that make sense are more of my forte, because people will buy into it. Like when I palm strike people, when I beat the crap out and I kick them, people believe it because I'm doing it. Submission work. I'm going to try to tear your arm off. I'm going to try to do all these different kinds of things that are going to hurt. And as long as you're wrestling in the base of reality, people will buy into it more. That's why people like Minoru Suzuki are thriving, especially now, because he's been honestly unappreciated in the Americas for so long, but now he's getting bookings. And he had a hell of a year this year. He does like 7 or 8 events before WrestleMania. Shayna Baszler is obviously another exhibitionist concerning a more submission-based catch wrestling style, which is what, ironically, we are all studying to do. Well, Minoru Suzuki was trained under Carl Gotch, so Suzuki is basically God now when it comes to that style. Matt Riddle is also another kind of person who's more of a striker mixed in with a submission base. It's the ability to make things legitimate, because if you can make things legitimate you're gonna do it with an adult eye, especially when you don't, because there's nothing. I guess I don't know if this is this show PG. Is it R? Like language? I've almost slipped a couple times. I guess you could say there's no BSing someone trying to do an armbar or someone trying to choke you out, or doing variations that are going to tear out your joints. Because some people's arms don't bend certain ways that I bend them. And people can connect with that, and they can relate to that. But I also, unlike a lot of these people, to do some more submission-based wrestling, I believe that because I do a lot more striking, and I have a bit more power moves, and I have a bit more of, a flair to me, that especially when I'm against bigger opponents or piece of crap bad guys, heels, that I believe people identify with more as a babyface. Plus, I just have, a cute baby face look. I'm adorable.
Well, we're down to the last few minutes of the show here, so I want to give you ample time. If there's anything that you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you have, social medias, merchandise, upcoming shows, your favorite bakery, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
If you want to buy my T-shirts, things like that, you can go on to my Instagram, Twitter, whatever, where I have examples, at Akira the Yakuza, Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook. That's the same thing for my PayPal. You just add your address, name, and size when you see the examples, and they're all $15 each. And once again, my social media is Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Akira the Yakuza, AkiraTheYakuza, and YouTube is at Akira's Corner. You'll see me, obviously. And I do have an event tomorrow at PWK King against a guy named Ames, featuring Cortez Castro in the main event. Personally, you can just follow me. Like, follow me on Twitter and on Instagram. Like, watch my stuff. Like, feel me out. I'm just not going to be your stereotypical wrestler who's going to do a lot of flips and crap. My entire job is to make you truly feel the struggle of pro wrestling is. I want you to feel a multiple range of emotions. And all the support in the world means everything to me. A lot of people like to use that and to BS people. I appreciate honesty, and I appreciate integrity in wrestling, and I appreciate legitimacy, just as much in the ring as I do as a, being a person. That's why I believe Matt Riddle is so successful, because he's such a generally nice dude. And I just want to be a generally nice person to everybody. I want everybody to succeed. I want everybody to follow me and support me and follow me on this journey of discovering who I am as a person, as a wrestler, and hopefully I can help people do the same.
Well, Akira, I want to thank you for taking time today to be with us. I know you were traveling to the rehearsal dinner, so thank you very much for being with us today, and I look forward to watching you progress, and hopefully we'll get to do this again sometime.
Thank you very much, and to everybody listening, and to you as well, my host, thank you very much personally, and I do hope to talk to you again.
All right, fans, if you get the chance to see Akira perform in an arena near you, go check him out. Great hybrid style he has. I think you'll enjoy what he does. Also want to make mention today on Tuesday, there is a benefit show happening in Paris, Kentucky for the grandmother of legendary Larry D. We are going to have Larry D on this very program in a couple of weeks, but definitely get out there if you can, if you're anywhere near Paris, Kentucky, and support this benefit show. It is going to have all the proceeds going towards the family to help them with the funeral costs and her final expenses, so support that. And we will be back with you Sunday afternoon. We are kicking off Super Fan Month. Some of the most well-known wrestling fans. And we're going to start things off with David Wills. Things are still real to him, and he's going to be with us. Should be very, very interesting this month on Sundays. So join us then, and we will talk to you in a couple of days.